cover Sam's ears. He's an illustration here in about 10 minutes. All right. Hey, I want to talk to you about baptism because we're about to baptize a few folk. And I want to talk to you about what it is, why we do it the way we do it, and what it means. And one of the things you know in the Bible is that every time somebody came to Christ, with maybe one or two exceptions, they were baptized. And that's a great commission. Look at Matthew chapter 28 with me. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations." Now, how do you make disciples? You baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and you teach them to observe all the things I've commanded of you, and lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the age. I like that passage. It begins with a testimony or a proclamation of God's omnipotence. All power is given to me. Then it ends with a proclamation of His omnipresence. And lo, I'm with you always. But in the middle, you go, you make disciples, you baptize, you teach. That's our part. Look at Acts chapter 2. And this is on the day of Pentecost. And with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. One more, Acts chapter 8. This is Philip talking to the Ethiopian leader. He said, he comes up to him, and we're breaking into a conversation. The Ethiopian says, "How can I believe unless someone guides me? Or how can I know?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. He was reading in the book of Isaiah, and Philip said, "Do you know what you're reading about?" And he said, "How can I know unless somebody tells me?" The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, and so he opened not his mouth." That's Jesus on the cross. "And in his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch, that's the Ethiopian, if you want to know what eunuch means, Google it, answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet speak, say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture and preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and he was baptized. Notice some things in those passages. First of all, that baptism is for believers. We go, we teach. That's Matthew chapter 28. We teach, and when people receive Christ, when they believe on Christ, then they're baptized. Philip or Peter is asked on the day of Pentecost about baptism, and he says, "Believe and be baptized." The Ethiopian here, he says, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip says, "You can be baptized if you believe with all of your heart." So believing always precedes baptism, and that's why we don't practice infant baptisms. They don't, infants, as far as I can tell, don't believe on Jesus Christ yet. So we baptize believers, and we baptize them soon. Remember, in each, at least on Acts chapter 2, in the day of Pentecost, and there with Philip and the eunuch, they were baptized on the same day they were converted. Now, some churches baptize every Sunday. We don't do that. That's not bad theology. We baptize frequently, but you ought to be baptized soon. And third, you notice that they were baptized, or at least here in chapter 8, they were baptized clearly by immersion. Philip and the Ethiopian go into the water. You know that John the Baptist baptized where? He baptized at the Jordan River. He wasn't in Jerusalem with a bird bath. He had to be at the river because he needed much water. And so that's our theology. We baptize believers. We baptize, and we believe you ought to be baptized soon, and we baptize through immersion. But having said that, what does baptism mean? That's the question. I want to give you five things here in 15 minutes. As a preacher, knowing preachers, you know that's a lie. But I'm going to try to do it 15 minutes. The first thing that baptism signifies is that my faith is a public faith. Faith is personal. It's never private. It's personal. It's not inherited. It's got to be for me. I can't live on somebody else's faith. But faith, although being personal, is never private. We are called, the Bible says that if we deny Him in front of people, He will deny us before His Father in heaven. And those are Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 10. We are called to live public lives. Now, that was a bit of an issue in the first century because they might have been tempted to not live publicly because of persecution of even death. We are oftentimes tempted not to live so publicly because of social reasons or social aspects of the people that we're around. But we are called to claim Jesus. And one of the ways we do that publicly is through baptism. Listen, I'm married. I own her. She claims me. I think she claims me. I know I claim her. That's part of being married. I have friends. I don't always like the decisions that my friends make. Sometimes in private, I tell my friends, I don't like the decision you made. I never in public not claim to be their friend. I don't disown my friends. Those issues sometimes are handled in private, but I own my friends. Why would I not own my Savior? If I can own corrupt, human, sometimes very frail friends in the moment, why can't I not own the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? It is a dishonor not to own Him. It's not a small thing. It really isn't a small thing. I mean, if you think about it in terms of marriage, the things that we think are small are really big when you think about them in the context of marriage. For instance, you ask a woman and you say, you know, I want to sit you up with this man, and he's perfect. I don't know what perfection is for you, Cary Grant, Tom Selleck, Gerald Rudd. I don't know what perfection would be. For you, I don't think his wife even thinks that. But no, but whatever perfection is for you, he's got the right portfolio, he's got the right house, he's got, you know, the right style, whatever that is for you. He's perfect, flawless. The only flaw is that he won't admit that you're married in public. The only flaw. The only flaw is he's embarrassed of you. He's perfect other than that. I mean, would that be a deal breaker? Well, yeah, it sort of would be. You say, well, it's a small thing when I'm in school or when I'm on the job and people are saying negative things about my Lord and Savior and I don't say anything. That's not a big deal. I don't smoke or drink or date girls who chew, or I don't do any of those that stuff. It would be a small thing. No, it's not. Not if you're married to Jesus Christ and we're the bride of Christ. It's not a small thing. It's a deal breaker with Him. So we are called to own Jesus Christ. And when I'm baptized, I'm making my profession that it might have been personal, but it's not private with me. Second of all, I'm professing that I've been taught a few things. Notice that we're taught and we're baptized. Day of Pentecost, Peter teaches and then they're baptized. At the chariot of the Ethiopian, Philip teaches. And he explains Christ being the Lamb of God. And he explains, I think, the sacrifice that Christ made and its personal nature. And then after he's taught, the Ethiopian says, well, having heard that and having believed that, what hinders me from being baptized? When I'm baptized, I am confessing that I have believed some things because I've been taught some things. Again, when you get married, back to this illustration, when you get married, you're going to find out a lot of things about the person you married you didn't know when you married them. But there's some basic information you need before you get married, primarily what it means to be married. It's going to be hard for this relationship to work, although now you're going to spend the next, Lord, if the Lord gives you years or decades, exploring each other's personalities. But you don't start that marriage unless you know what marriage is. You know it's a lifetime commitment. You know it calls for monogamy. You know that this is for better or worse, in sickness and in health, and richer for poor. You need to understand what you're getting into. And you need to understand some ideal of who you're marrying before you marry. When I get baptized, I'm saying I know who Jesus is, and I know what it means to be committed to Jesus Christ. I've been taught some things. And then third, first of all, it's saying that my faith is a public thing, and I've believed some things because I've been taught some things about Jesus. And then it means that my past is now my past. Look at Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The Old Testament is in many ways a demonstration of New Testament truths. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 will liken our baptism to the deliverance of Israel through the seas of through the Red Sea, when the Red Sea parted. And he says, as Israel was baptized in the Red Sea, so you and I are baptized. And that's symbolic of our baptism. And again, when they passed through the Red Sea, they went into, they had a lot of problems on the other side of the Red Sea. There were a lot of struggles. There were things that they didn't do right. There were difficult times. But when they went through the Red Sea, one thing became certain, that they were no longer slaves in Egypt. And in one way, baptism is saying that we have passed through our own Red Sea, and granted, life may not be easy on the other side, but one thing is for sure, we're not the same people, we don't have the same identity, we are not slaves to our past, we're not slaves to sin, and we are going forward, and Egypt is going to stay in Egypt. Our sins are going to stay in the past. They've been nailed to the cross. And now we are no longer servants of sin. We're no longer servants of our passions. We have been delivered. The Bible says that when we receive Christ, we receive power from on high. We receive the Spirit. We are no longer slaves to our passions. We're no longer slaves to our addictions. Yeah, there can be a working out of the situation. Sometimes with an addiction, you're delivered once and for all. Sometimes you get up every morning and you have grace for that day. But there is enough grace to keep you from being a captive to your past through Jesus Christ. The past is the past is the past is the past. It's important. There's a notion inside of Christianity that we're always slaves, we're always sinning, we're always being defeated, we're always being tricked by the devil. And that's just not what the Bible says. How can we who have been delivered from sin continue to live in sin? That is a perplexing question for many, but it's a simple question if you have experienced the power of God in your life. So when we get baptized, we say the past is the past. And we now say the present is going to be lived with Jesus. Look at Romans 6:5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Focus on that word united. Even now we are united with Jesus. We're not alone. We're not orphans. We're not walking through life without comfort. We're not walking through life left to our own devices. We are united with Jesus now. Past is the past. The present is now to be lived with Jesus. And notice that the future is to be glorious. We're united with him. And if we have died to our old self, it was like Jesus dying on the cross. And we're resurrected. We're resurrected to new life now and new bodies then. See, there's a sense in which when you're baptized, you're making a prophecy. You're saying, as I am dying to my old life, I'm being raised to newness of life. I'm now being united with Christ. But even this isn't the end of the chapter, because as my body has come out of the water, someday this body will come out of a grave and will be glorified and will live forever with Christ Jesus. And so when we're baptized, we say what? We say, my faith is a very public thing. I've learned some things and I believe some things. We're saying the past is the past, the present is with Jesus, and the future, I aim to see it in all of its glory. Follow through. I want to ask you, is your past your past? Or is your past always getting into the present? My boy, he's thinking about baptism. He's six, he's thinking about it. He's working through the ramifications of it. And his mother said yesterday that, he said, now if I get baptized, does that mean I have to be nice to my sister? And she said, yeah, I think that's what it means. And she said, he said, I think I can do it. I think I can do it. It's past the past. The old me. The old me was an instigator. New me's a lover. It's past the past. Listen, and we're going to sing a couple songs. So I'm going to invite the folks who are going to be baptized. And if you want to bring people with you, you can come through this door or that door. And come all the way back down over to the choir room. And if you didn't plan to get baptized today, but you say, you know what, that sermon makes sense to me, I want to get baptized. We've got lots of towels back here. It's hot as Hades outside. You can ride home wet. It'd be okay. But if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, today's your day, man. Stand with me. Stand with me.